were looked up to in most cases as being the mouthpiece of God. But today, the young in particular see them in a different light. They see them as men, as themselves, often uninspired, often the rhetoric, such as it may well be, holds little conviction for the young. Today the young are digging more deeply. They're not stretching the surface as so many did in the past, content to accept that question. And it is to the young that we look for the furtherance of truth. And yes, for the nation of these things which we endeavor to give to future generations, we search and seek for instruments that will be developed and used, that they may take over the work of the Spirit. And it is in this particular thing that we probably find the greatest disappointment, because so often the young are in themselves disappointed, even with that which we term spiritualism. This is the tragedy which causes us great concern, that there are so few mediums who are able to expound these things and also bring the conviction so long desired and needed. And I think that the many young people who are searching diligently and sincerely among those who advocate these things and demonstrate them, and sometimes I fear they are disappointed because the evidence is not always forthcoming. And oftentimes those who have the gift of the Spirit as mediums do not always fulfill the obligations that are placed upon them. They do not always adhere to the truth. I do not wish to make condemnation, but if this movement, as you term it, or we term it, spiritualism, is to go forward, we must develop instruments who are in themselves capable and able to demonstrate the reality of these things of which we speak. And I regret to say that there are very few who are capable, and oftentimes those who are capable are inclined to overtax themselves mentally, physically, psychically, and in a sense perhaps spiritually. We have to, when we develop mediumship, we have to protect it. We have to protect the instruments. But unfortunately, many instruments, mediums, do not protect themselves. In some instances, I suppose it is that they are anxious to serve too well for their own good and for the good of those who are searching for knowledge and truth. Mediumship, by its very nature, is precarious. Mediumship cannot function at will. Indeed, an instrument, no matter how sincere, just to a great extent, must subject himself to the power of the Spirit. And when that power is manifest and used, all is well, but there are times due to circumstances, oftentimes beyond the medium's control, when we are not able to manifest. they're not able to tune in. They're not able to use the mediumship as we wish. There are so many factors that need to be taken into consideration. And this is, I think, one of the big problems. There are so few mediums. And oftentimes those whom we have developed to a degree to serve have this tendency to overtax their powers. And in some cases, the mediums themselves are weak. Because a medium does not necessarily, as you well know, have to be a spiritually minded person to become or to be an instrument. There is a difference, of course, which is not always understood among spiritualists. There is a difference between psychism and spiritualism. There is a difference between psychic forces and psychic gifts and spiritual power and spiritual gifts. Of course, these two will interweave together. What we need are good psychics, and above all, we need good, spiritually minded instruments. And we have to do the best we can with the clay that is given us, that we can mold it into shape, that we can make it so that only that which is good shall come from it. The clay often, unfortunately, is not always manageable. We can only do as best we may according to the power that is generated according to the substance that we have to work with. And we are all the time dealing with people in your world who, though well-meaning, well-intentioned, those sensitized to these truths are not always manageable, not always easy to manage, to control. Sometimes we are as disappointed as you may well be with the results. Sometimes we go away disheartened, and perhaps sometimes a little disillusioned. But we are ever conscious and aware of the many problems that beset the path of an instrument. We do everything in our power to guard, to guide, protect, to uplift and inspire, but we cannot force, neither have we the desire to force, instruments to do anything against their own nature or their own will. Though we may only desire that which is good, we are still subject to the conditions which prevail with and around an instrument. In a sense, it might be true to say that we are no better in our contact, that is, than the instrument that we use. But nevertheless, we oftentimes succeed in spite of manifold difficulties. And of course, this brings us to the point of the young. They are critical. They are not easy to convince. They oftentimes expect everything to be perfect, inasmuch as they assume that if this is true, as we know it is, then everything that shall come shall be perfect, inasmuch as you will bear scrutiny and analysis. And indeed, there are times when, of course, it does. And there are times when, obviously, from that point of view, it does not. But what they do not realize is that we are to some extent affected by and limited by the conditions that are prevalent at the time that you have either a certain obsession, such as this, for instance. Mediumship, by its very nature, will fluctuate. Not depends on so many facts. And also what the young perhaps do not realize is that they themselves make a contribution to the very conditions which make communication possible. And because sometimes their attitude is not always as it should be in the whole fight, in spite of their sincerity, they must learn, as indeed we must be all learn, to be humble. You see, their education and the circumstances of modern life create factors which sometimes create barriers. It has been said that he must be like unto a little child before you can enter into the understanding of the Spirit. And this is really true. We do not ask anyone, particularly the young, when they enter a sales room or a society where these things are demonstrated, to leave their wits and their brains outside. But we do ask them to enter into whatever the experiment, for an experiment it must be. They must enter into it with an open mind, unfluttered, unfettered, unchained by preconceived notions and ideas. They must be open in their approach, and their hearts must be full of love. Love for all humanity. Love for the whole of creation. I think in many instances they do so enter into this contract. A contract it is between your world and this. A contract which is built up on a foundation of goodness, love, peace, harmony, of understanding, of spiritual realization and attainment and achievement. But it is a slow, oftentimes laborious journey. And anyone who enters into this truth will not find it easy. By this I mean, the more your eyes are open to the things that are of the Spirit, the more difficult it is to adjust, in a sense, to the depth. Because if you are lifted out of the mire, to some extent, by spiritual awareness, consciousness and truth, so you take unto yourself new values, new understandings, new realization, new purpose, and you enter into a consciousness and state of being removed from material things. And you have to learn in consequence to adjust, to give everything its true place. And this is not easy for the young, for oftentimes it means sacrifices. Sacrificing sometimes things which seem materially important. For an older person who has lived their life, made their mistakes, and assess to some extent values is not so difficult for them in their old age. To throw aside many of the material desires of the flesh and the material things that once seemed when young important. Indeed, I think it is true to say when we ask the young to enter into this contract, that it is indeed a contract with the Spirit, announced him to reassess values, cast aside many material benefits of many material things which are important to them or vital in their energy and youth, standing on the threshold of adventure and experience material, to cast aside many of the things, or at least lessen them in their desires and lessen them in their way of life, which is not an easy thing. It's much, much, much harder for the young. And therefore there will be those who will come and find not only perhaps our efforts to help them insufficient, because they have not the patience to persevere, to seek deeper depths and values, giving us more opportunity to demonstrate the reality of these things. They make sometimes quick judgments, and they have been unfortunate to have sat with mediums whose quality is not of the highest, or intentions even of the best. And they do not receive perhaps the inspiration that they have longed for, and they drift away. And then there are those who are full of enthusiasm, who are full of conviction, and anxious to be of service, who have become to some extent spiritually aware that the cause of life in your world as it is lived today by so many who are young, and the peoples that they often become friendly with, who think differently and act materially, who become caught up with all sorts of material conditions which by their very nature close the door to a great extent on spiritual endeavor. There is a great difficulty for even those who have this conviction and realization to walk on the paths of truth and obey the laws of the Spirit. If I sound to some extent rather depressing or lacking perhaps, as some people might well say after hearing what I have said, lacking in faith in the young, this is far from the truth. I have great faith in the young. But I also realize the manifold difficulties of the young. I know that one can bring forth arguments, one can make statements which will be listened to and accepted, and in some endeavors carried out. But we must never close our eyes to the manifold weaknesses in ourselves. And I include we on this side to some extent. There are those in your world, spiritualists and called, who assume because we are here, because we have entered into a new state of being, that we have risen far for the way from the material things of earth. This is true in essence to a point, but don't forget that we are all on the pathway of gradual, and I accentuate the word gradual, progress. There are some who are manifesting themselves in a state of being far, far removed from the material world, whose aspect of thought and life is so far removed that it would be impossible to depict it in words that would give you understanding. And there are those who are near and in many respects not unlike yourselves. I do not mean in life or shape or form, but in attitudes of mind and of spiritual design. All men, more or less, whatever strata of being they may be, have within themselves the desire, deep-rooted though it may well be, you know, obscured perhaps by circumstance and experience and conditions under which they exist, yet they have within themselves latent, dormant, the desires for spiritual realization, spiritual consciousness, spiritual awareness, the desire to overthrow the worser self for all men and women, our inner states, what one might refer to as Jekyll and Hyde characters. I am always aware of the simile that Christ gave so long ago about the coin, rendering unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. The coin. This, as I see it, is an example of what we endeavor to impart and instill within each one of you, whether you be young or old, to render the spiritual aspect of self with all its potential, with all its magnificence, with all its beauty, with all its power, not necessarily when you arrive here, but while you are still part of the coin of earth. This is the great opportunity that is so often missed by all manner of kind of peoples, irrespective of particular creed or denomination, color. By all means you must render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. We do not ask for perfection from you. We do not anticipate or even desire that you should abandon all of the material life from others. We suggest that you take it with open hands and be happy. Enjoy that which is good from it, from the earth, from all of the earth can offer. We know and we understand that any temptations that beset the path all God's creatures, and we do not even consider some of the things that are considered temptations as temptations. We consider often they are opportunities to gather knowledge, to experience. We also realize that it is essential, necessary, oftentimes to make mistakes. One must learn, and oftentimes the only way to learn is by error. We do not suggest an error is necessarily a good thing. We do not exactly advocate it, but we do not deny that oftentimes either evil, so-called evil, becomes good. We know that mistakes are necessary. A child in his ignorance and foolishness will do some stupid thing, but it will learn gradually, as a child must and will, by error, by doing something that is foolish. We understand stupidity and foolishness and error, and we understand many of the things which man refers to as evil. We do not necessarily always see that some of these things which are referred to or have been more so referred to in the past as evil as such. The church is changing. gradually related. Though the churches are empty, those who serve it, preaching the young curate, the young parson, his attitude and his outlook has changed considerably from that of 100 years or even 20 years ago. There is hope for the church in this respect, that the young in the church will see more clearly the errors of the past and try to rectify them. Then some shall be taken over by the Holy Spirit. And as St. Paul said, they shall perhaps, in the hope and praise that they will, do the things that are of God. They shall demonstrate the spiritual faculties and gifts within the church. And many shall be turned because of it. There are those who heal the sick. There are those who are beginning to realize the gifts of prophecy. Those who realize that it is possible to go back to the early days of the church, when in its simplicity, as children, as indeed in a sense they were, in their humility and in their faith, were partakers of the power and the blessing of the Spirit, and they saw, and they heard, and they knew that life was continuous, the death was of the end. Where do you think the early Christian martyrs got their tremendous faith from, that they could enter full of hope, full of assurance, full of certainty, and joy in their hearts, the arenas of ancient Rome? They received the power of the Spirit. It manifested itself in every way. They were assured. They had no fear of death. Though the human aspect of death, natural though it must be, to the method, they had no fear of the consequence, the ultimate release of the Spirit from the mangled and torn physical body. There are untold numbers of peoples in your world who fear death. There are some who fear the myth of time. They fear the sickness and the illness, the agony. Others are not so concerned, perhaps, that they fear the consequences, retribution, as it is termed, particularly those of a religious turn of mind who have this fear of being judged. There is no judgment, only those who have within their consciousness this fear. They have this fear of being judged, and yet no one judges another. We all judge ourselves. We all assess, to some extent, ourselves. When a man arrives here, it is as if in some strange way is conscious of himself for the first time. Man is stripped of all fetters. No longer can he run amok. No longer can he hide himself behind the false fronts that he has built up throughout his lifetime. How many are they that I have known who have been aghast when they have realized that in this world of spirit there is no judgment, no condemnation, there is no need for fear or apprehension. For each man finds his own true level and works out for himself, if I can use the expression, his own salvation, what is intended in the Christian, where life is that one should follow the Master Jesus, to mold, to model oneself as far as one humanly can upon him, to become like unto him, to do as he said that we should do these things, for they are greater than ourselves. Christ knew that man had the power within himself to save himself. The man had the power within himself to do the things that are of God while yet upon earth, bringing us back again to the coin, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, unto God the things that are God's. The dual life of man, the good and the bad, striving, struggling towards a state of being. The man is given the power from within to overcome the manifold weaknesses of the flesh. The realization comes that everything that transpires, that everything that happens while yet upon earth, in some measure, has its place, its meaning, and its purpose. One has to learn to overcome that the earthly life may be controlled by the inspiration of the power of the Spirit within and all around and about man, the divine Spirit, the life-giving force, the essence of all goodness that is God. God is but a title, but a name, but a word. God is power, God is love. God is the creative aspect of self, that is the driving force, that is all life. It is the energy, the vitality, the mentality, and the spirituality, and the realization of oneness of all creation. Only man could see himself, but only youth could realize. Because it is in youth that the greatest opportunities arise. The lifetime of earthly existence stretching before one to serve, to better oneself and those around and about you, to create the brotherhood of man and the salvation of the world, and to remember and to realize no worlds are one. No world than ours, are as one. We are one world, we are not a separate world. We may be to many unseen, unknown, and yet we are with you, part of you. We are part of your spirit as you are part of ours. Open up your eyes to these things. See and thou shalt truly know of the goodness of the divine power of all life which animates us all. Do not doubt, not fear, can hold with strength and knowledge, but understand the true realization of this witchy creature which we give to you. This is the foundation, the rock, from which all shall be built for the future generations yet to come. Will you live in difficult times, testing times? Though man has created the conditions under which he now finds himself, which become more and more complicated, difficult, and indeed in some respects frightening, and could indeed be horrifying if allowed to continue.